Everybody jump, 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 jump.
I said a hip hop, the hibbit of a hip hip hop, you don't stop.
Rap, 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 rap. I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big sharp it up.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
Everybody's favorite quote from Dave Peach. 840 here on News Radio. Commissioner Parker, wrap it up. 840 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's The Wrap. We've got a couple of friends here in studio with me. Mike Kimbrell, who is the founder at Satoshi Forest, the alternative homeless camp off of Massachusetts, and also the executive director at Washburn?
Just director
at the Washburn Center. And also Lisa Newell, who, of course, you heard yesterday. She is the publisher of the Gulf Breeze News. Mike and Lisa, welcome back to The Wrap.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Thanks for having us.
Great to have you. Let's start with this because it's kind of sort of happening tonight. We've got the Taste of Gulf Breezes tonight. There's the, you know, there's another event coming up. Gulf Breeze is just kind of like it's becoming more and more the activities place as opposed to just the place where people go when they're not in Pensacola.
Well, there was a very tonight is the Taste of Gulf Breeze. Right.
I think I said okay.
Yeah, I don't think you said that. But Taste of Gulf Breeze is tonight, which is the Gulf Breeze Chamber event, and it is adults only, but it is already sold out, unfortunately. So if you don't already have your tickets, you are.
We'll stop promoting it.
Yeah. So. But it is a great event, and of course we have got all kinds of opportunities to taste from restaurants and different. There's also going to be other businesses there. So it should be really fun. So we're looking forward to that.
Absolutely.
And then next Friday, the 13th, we are going to have the Breeze-O-Ween, which is like a Halloween thing for the children and lots of fun for the city. And so that's going to be on the Friday, the 13th, which is a very spooky time. So,
right. No, that'll be fun next
scary.
Week. In your neck of the woods, Michael, I have seen that they, in fact, I posted a video about this, that the park, I always forget the name of that park, but Brentwood?
It's just Brent.
Brentwood Park. Okay.
Yeah, Brentwood Park.
Right across from the elementary school, right north of the church. That's where the tax collector's office is going to be, and they're building a building there. But in the meantime, they've completely closed off that block. That block is a place where, and that park is a place where, commonly, you would see homeless people in the Ramada. You would see them sometimes camping in the woods in the vicinity, getting feedings there. I would say it would ebb and flow how many people you'd have there, but it was always being used by people when they didn't have somewhere else to go. It's also right down the street from the Washburn Center, and then right down the street a little farther from the vacant land that had been heavily camped in, but has now been, I think, vacated. Because, you know, people aren't supposed to stay there anymore and there were issues. I'm basically right about that?
Kind of, yeah. So the park had definitely been frequented by the homeless community for a while, but I think the county used that as the excuse to shut the park down to build a tax collector's office. But at the end of the day, they haven't done anything to address the homeless problem in the area. And so I was a big proponent to not shut down the park, but
like to barricade around the park and leave the park open while the rest of the project was being worked on.
Oh, I was completely against the project.
Oh, okay. Altogether. Well,
I think that once you lose a public green space, you'll never get it back, and it was a shame that we lost that green space.
But once it was decided that it was going to happen, did you ask? I don't really know if there was any conversation about, you know, because the barricade can be put up kind of wherever you want. It could have been. Like the northwest corner of that property could definitely have been left available to the public while the rest had been fenced off, in my opinion.
It could have been. I don't have a problem with them fencing the whole thing off, you know.
Once the decision gets made that you had disagreed with. Okay. All right. Fair enough. But we recently, something that's relevant for you is the Continuum of Care was going through this conversation about who was going to be on the board, right? And there was some disagreement among some of the different entities here in town, but they've named their members and you're actually on the board, right?
Well, it's a committee.
Okay,
yeah, it's a committee to look at the governance of our COC. I think it's been a long time since they've revamped and looked at how the governance is. And so I feel like we're kind of starting from ground zero and just really rebuilding our coalition.
And for people who don't know, the Continuum of Care is, it's a word people who are in this process use all the time. It's a word that most people outside of this process have never heard before. And that's just the the totality of ways to help people who are in homelessness at various stages, everything sort of beginning to end that might affect them is kind of under the general umbrella of Continuum of Care. But there's an organization that actually is supposed to be monitoring and also serves as the point person to connect like federal money with the local community. Do I kind of have that right?
Yeah, yeah. So I usually say that the COC is the gatekeepers of the federal HUD tax dollars. Mm-hmm. They oversee the HMIS, or the Homeless Management Identification System.
Okay.
Which
helps you know whether somebody, how much care somebody's getting and where, and if there are overlapping services and that kind of stuff. So you
correct.
Can really turn these different charitable organizations into a kind of a comprehensive service where they're not kind of wasting by overlapping and redundancy in the things that they give to any individual.
Exactly, and also to help your clients, so we can see who has shelter space available, and so I'm not sending someone to a location that's already at capacity, and so it does have a lot of benefits to it.
Well, I love that you're on that board, because you're the other voice. Right, you know, you're the dissenting voice a lot of times in these conversations, but I think it's an important voice. And I sometimes people don't like the 6-1 votes because they wish the one person would just get with the program. I like the 6-1 votes because the one person's probably saying something that needs to be said. Even if they get outvoted, they need to say it. You know,
yeah,
so.
Well, and I think I have a unique perspective that I don't receive any federal tax dollars, and so I have no dog in that fight. So
right.
I have a non-biased view of the situation.
You just see it from the user's point of view, basically. Yeah. It's 8:46 already. We're talking with Lisa Newell and Mike Kimbrell about a variety of issues. We'll get back to them in just a second. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Okay, watching an accident at 9 Mile and Palafox this morning, but it looks like it's been cleared up. Certainly watch for emergency crews on scene in that area. And Fairfield and Pace, a vehicle crash with a possible roadblock this morning. Slow in that area, busy intersection anyway, as you can imagine. Certainly use caution, as you know, wherever you are. If you see that accident or slowdown, certainly let us know. Text it in, 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thank you, yeah. Candy. So, Lisa, Santa Rosa County, as you well know, because you cover Gulf Breeze in Santa Rosa County, is going through this same problem that Escambia County is going through, the same problem that every county in America seems to be going through, but especially here in Florida. Affordable, or what they're now calling attainable housing, you know, how do you find housing that's in the price range for young nurses and cops and teachers and, you know, retail workers and the people we need to have, but the price of housing is largely out of their reach. And there's a push for impact fees, which makes those houses even more expensive, right?
It is a dilemma, but I can tell you that there are people that I see walking along the road down Highway 98 all the time, homeless people. Another big issue that we have is transportation, or lack thereof. You know, we've got this big project going on to 3-lane or 6-lane Highway 98 in that
right.
area, and but there's still no transportation for people who either cannot drive or lost their license or are too infirm to drive or need a whatever. And that's one of the things I've been just surprised that we have never brought that up.
Yeah, Santa Rosa. Is there nothing in Santa Rosa, or
nothing.
Is it just limited?
Nothing in our area.
And, okay.
Yeah, you know, if you go to like a city, sometimes like a city like Chattanooga, they will have a free trolley that goes up and down the street. Where
right.
Highway 98 is just one street. It would be make so much sense if we did have a hop-on, hop-off situation where you could go to the Winn-Dixie, or you could go down to the library, or you could do you know, some things you need to do, get to the hospital if necessary, or doctor's appointments. We only have one road, so it makes so much sense. To me, it would be
interesting,
a great way to get things done, but I can't get anyone's attention on that.
So the beach trolley doesn't have any stops on its way
no.
through?
Well,
Gulf
it's so, the, so out on the island, you have the beach trolley that runs back and forth just on the beach, and she's talking about on Highway 98,
Highway 98.
Between Gulf Breeze and Navarre, or
oh,
even
okay.
just between
yeah.
like Gulf Breeze proper and Tiger Point. Wouldn't, you know, I could see a loop that would go all the way east to west on the bottom, or just one that would go sort of, you know, midway and back and forth to, you know, Tiger Point, kind of back and
yeah.
forth to Gulf Breeze either way. Do you hear much in the among the homeless folks that transportation, because you don't have, I don't perceive you have the same issues of homelessness in Santa Rosa that seem to be like the same in Escambia County, but I don't know well enough to know.
Well, and that's a big problem that we have, is there's very little outreach in Santa Rosa County.
Okay.
When you look at our statistical numbers when we do the PIT count, it's
the point in time
less,
count.
Yeah, the point
once
in time
a year,
count.
Right?
Yeah, it's less than 20 people, and it's like we know there's more than 20 homeless in all of Santa Rosa County, and
yeah,
so that means that we're doing a horrible job of reaching out and identifying.
Yeah.
And addressing the issues of homelessness in Santa Rosa County.
And not to belabor something that I know you and I have talked about before, but what you count as a homeless person, you know, staying on your auntie's couch, you know, could be. Staying in your car clearly would be. Living in some, you know, woods behind a subdivision obviously is. But, you know, it's impossible that there's 20 homeless people total in Santa Rosa County. That's not
correct.
That's impossible.
Right. Yeah. And I remember when Dr. Karen Barber was in charge of that part of the Santa Rosa County School District, she had addressed a meeting that I was at talking about how many people there were couch surfing, especially teens.
Right. Yep.
And so I know it's a bigger problem. And we did last year, the Gulf Breeze News led a drive to collect underwear and socks, because that's one of the things that you don't really find in the lost and found. But there are, and we gave them out to all the schools in our area, and there was a huge response. We were going to do that again. But she was the one who brought that to our attention. So the schools do keep track.
Yeah, and I guess I should clarify that was 20 homeless adults.
Adults, right.
Homeless youth are much easier to identify because of the school system.
Yes.
And so even when you look at Escambia County, there'll be twice as many youth as there are adults. And looking at the statistics, you would think every homeless person's carrying two children with them. And, you know, and we know that's not the case as
right.
well.
So a conversation my wife and I have sometimes about this issue, about homelessness in particular, and maybe this is relevant to the Santa Rosa County situation, is I want to help people as much as we can help them, especially people who are unable to help themselves, right? People who are able but choose not to, that's to me a different category, but people who are unable to help themselves. But for example, if you're in Escambia County, you have, and this is not to say that all panhandlers are homeless or anything. It's one indicator, right? So every street corner that you see of any significance is going to have people panhandling as a representation somewhat of the size of the homeless community in our area. You go to Santa Rosa County and that just doesn't happen. They're just, people are not at the intersections. They're not anywhere to be found at the intersections. And so you maybe ask the question, well, is that because of no homeless people? Okay, maybe so. But is that a byproduct of services, right? Because Santa Rosa doesn't have the services. And so maybe somebody says, well, look, they're not attracted to that county because there's no services, there's no opportunity. They go where the services are. Is that broadly speaking, is that an unfair assessment?
I think that probably plays a factor, but I also think a factor is enforcement. I think that it is not as permittable in Santa Rosa County as it is in Escambia County. I mean, we have a slew of anti-panhandling ordinances that are on the books that I see being broken daily.
Right,
you know,
right.
You can't be on a median. You can't panhandle after dark. You can't aggressively panhandle.
Right.
You can't step off a curb. And I see it daily. And, you know, and so the laws just aren't being enforced. Not that I'm a proponent for the panhandling laws, because I think that these people are asking for help, and as someone that provides services, I see there aren't adequate services. And so until we have adequate services, people should have the right to ask for help.
So you're not advocating for more enforcement of rules that you think shouldn't be in there in the first place.
No, I just think
But you think enforcement is the difference between Santa Rosa and Escambia County.
Yes.
Okay, interesting. Lisa, have you... I've never really thought a lot about it, except I know when we drive, because my wife and I drive and bike all over the place, and, you know, you just don't have it in Destin. You know, you just don't have it in Gulf Shores and Orange Beach. And so I ask myself the question, well, what really is the difference? You know, is it just we have so many more, or is it, you know, as you say, a matter of enforcement? Because you're right, the ordinances are there, but it's challenging to enforce them, and, you know, so.
I think a lot of people, too, are ashamed of being homeless, and they want to keep hidden.
No, certainly.
But also there's another problem, which is the people who are working who cannot afford the rent that we have in Santa Rosa County. It has gotten so out of control that people are trying to find alternative places to live, and it's a real problem because rents are just skyrocketing.
Yeah, and you know what you might have been able to afford at your pay rate 4 years ago, I think we all know that with the shortage of good housing at the lower income levels, you know, it's not just that there's not enough. It's that because there's not enough, people aren't moving up, creating space, and we have so many more people coming here. So, yeah, I can only imagine. Like, I know we built a house 9 years ago, and I am super glad we did. You know, because if we hadn't, you know, we'd be in the position of trying to afford a house that's, you know, maybe we could buy at this point, maybe we couldn't. But because we kind of got in ahead, that's a problem we haven't had to deal with. But I see it all around me, all kinds of people. And that's another sort of related issue in homelessness, is people tend to think it's all mental health, it's all people who have substance abuse, and certainly those are common, but it's also people who find themselves priced out of the rental market in a job that they can't, you know, tell their boss, you got to double my pay because my rent has doubled, right?
Right.
Yeah. Well, and I'm seeing a growing number of what I guess we would call the working poor in the homeless community, mm-hmm. where they're given the choice to spend all of their money for four walls and be dead broke, or live in the woods and be able to go have dinner and go see the movies and, you know, and have experiences. And I don't think that's a fair choice to put on people. And, you know, I kind of have a hard time blaming anyone for making that choice to live in the woods and are still working, mm-hmm. you know, 40 plus hours a week.
Right. So. And the psychological, oppression that you take for granted being safe. You take for granted having food in the fridge, you know, when you're, you know, middle class problems, which of the food options available to me do I want to consume right now, right? Which room in the house do I feel like taking a nap, you know, that kind of stuff. And when you're scrounging for your daily life, it's a completely different experience of everything.
Yeah, and more expensive.
Right.
You can't buy in bulk and store it. You're buying meal to meal, which is the most expensive way to buy meals. It's extremely expensive being poor.
Yeah, I was watching they mentioned on a news program. They're saying that it was Dollar General maybe, or Family Dollar, is one of these stores where they said, you know, it might not seem like it to you, but for people who are really poor, that can actually be a good alternative as food, because it's small quantities that you can afford, that, you know, you can sort of buy on a daily basis and get what you need and sort of survive that way, which, of course, you know, I don't go to Family Dollar to buy groceries. You know, that seems, you know, crazy to me. Let's take a quick time out. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
But you do when you're in a food desert.
Well, there's that.
So
too.
As we
take
a look at our roads, Fairfield and Pace near the Waterfront Rescue Mission thrift store, there is an accident, but it's not backed. It's very slow in that area, but just like usual slow, not backed up slow. If you see an accident or a slowdown, certainly let us know. 437-1620. If you have traffic tips, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, mm-hmm. Candy. So we are almost out of time. We got about 2 minutes left, but I did want to just ask the question, you know, we keep fighting about infrastructure in Santa Rosa County. We sort of don't bother fighting about it so much anymore in Escambia County. But, you know, with all the people growing more and more all the time, you know, this push for impact fees, politically, there's some fairly, you know, influential groups who want to have them. Mm-hmm. But the builders are opposed. The commission is generally opposed. And I think the burden of that falls unfairly on first-time home buyers and new home buyers who are going to pay a lot more in property taxes because they have to pay the higher property tax because they don't have the base rate doesn't get adjusted down for them. Do you see impact fees coming in Santa Rosa County for the, you know, either the school or the county commission?
Well, they have postponed that decision, as you know.
Right.
So they definitely do not want to do it. They are trying to kick that can down the road. And you know what happened with the school district when they imposed the fees. They were
thrown out in court.
Reversed or whatever. But, you know, there is a case to be made for them because we do have to have, like we said, we only have Highway 98.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much traffic. And we just have no services. So I think there's a lot of things that we do need. And we are getting more crowded. And there are new subdivisions going in all over the place. So
all. Like every nook and cranny is being developed, right?
150 new homes planned right by the new high school that's going in across from the zoo. So
The old flea market property, right?
Right, exactly. So there's, you know, and 150 homes translates to how many cars? You know,
right. 300 cars, yeah.
Cars. So, yeah, it's definitely something that I think we're looking at alternatives, and people don't want to do it, or some people don't want to do it. Other people say, why don't we do it? So, you know, it's an issue.
I totally agree. I spent all day yesterday talking about impact fees and property taxes and fairness, and, you know, it's challenging. And, of course, again, you know, some people, Michael, who would wish they could have those problems to figure out. Michael Kimbrell, Lisa Newell, thank you guys so much for joining me today. I appreciate it. We'll see you Monday.
You're listening.